Death of a Fly by David Ashton, with Alexander Morton as Bodine, Tom Fleming as Whitcroft, Siobhan Redmond as Veronica, and Russell Hunter as the insect. Death of a Fly.
It was a quiet day at the office. The Edinburgh sun percolated grudgingly through the half-cut Venetian blinds. I was resting on the windowsill, head pointing at the ceiling, but as usual, seeing everything. Before we go any further, let me make this clear. I am a fly. The office, where it's quiet, is part of the Praetorian Insurance Company just off Princes Street. The two men approaching are Gregory MacDonald, head of claims department, and his chief and best investigator, Alec Bodine. Time to move. Windowsills can be such target areas. Bodine isn't a bad old spud. Withdrawn, sardonic, but oodles of pain inside for one to bathe in. MacDonald is a lug. He once went for me with a rolled-up Scotsman. Imagine shuffling off this mortal coil smeared upon a half-finished crossword. We flies get such a bad press. I have broken my long silence because the case into whose entrails they are about to dig interests me strangely.
So, Pimlico was...
As expected, Mike, as expected.
The straight line had become an eternal triangle, eh? Look, sit down. Take a weight off your tootsies. Coffee?
Not unless it's decaffeinated.
I send you to London normal and you come back decaffeinated.
I've gone homeopathic.
They're all like that over the border. So, you settled for a lot less arsenwise.
Dropped the claim completely.
Like a hot potato. Already, bring us a cup of the real thing. And have you any of that expurgated, detoxified stuff?
Do you want it black, Mr. Bodie?
Please, no sugar.
I'll have mine with two big spoonfuls and the usual cow piss, thank you. And I don't think she approves of me, that girl.
Well, she's your niece.
Well, a job well done. Did you inform the law?
They had already investigated.
Bloody fly.
Summertime. They're in the pump.
You okay?
My head hurts.
Take an aspirin. Okay, over and out on Pimlico. I want you to listen to something. Those that have ears to hear, let them.
By the time you hear this, I shall be dead. My demise will be reported as an accident. This is not so. I shall have been murdered by my wife, Veronica, and her lover, Marcus Jardine, an architect of all things. My name, incidentally, is Alexander Whitcroft. The police, who delight only in the persecution of the general public, will not deem it murder, but I so deem it. I'm a victim of Cain, or should I say more accurately, Delilah. Recently, at my wife's insistence, I took out an insurance policy on my life, or lack of it. The sum is £100,000. She is the beneficiary. Yours is the company due to benefit her. This may give you more than a passing interest in the affair. I suggest you send someone to investigate, but I warn, here be serpents. Danger. Danger sets out its stall on the way to dusty death, the way to the dark belly of Madam Murder. Good luck to the Voyager.
He stops talking there, but the music goes on and on.
Yeah, he had stamina, Mozart, while it lasted.
Well, what do you think?
A bit early for Halloween, isn't it?
Hurry up. Close this to the left, decaf to the right. I'm glad you're back, Mr. Bodine. We could do with a bit of civilization round here.
Yes, yes. The first time I heard MacDonald play Whitcroft's Testament, chords were struck. A veritable buzz of harmony. The delivery, the syntax, the angular, refracted approach, the waspish sting of his words. Why, it was almost fly-like.
Did you see that wee bugger sitting right on top of my sugar lump?
Wasn't he doing any harm?
Harm? Do you know what flies do after they sit on sugar lumps?
Like I said, Mr. Bodine, civilization, it's been lacking.
They defecate copiously. Oh, no, Alec. This is no trick or treats. 7 months ago, he took the policy out. High premiums, but they could cost us.
How did he die?
He didn't. He hasn't. Not unless you mean in a literary capacity.
Oh, what the hellish taste.
Isn't it, Jack?
God.
No, he used to be a bit of a successful minor poet, but a couple of years ago he decaffeinated into a minus, dried up. The muse flew. Now he lives in a big house in the country with a homicidal wife and his own reindeer. Well, so he tells me.
Oh, yes.
All right. We've been conversing. What time is it?
11.
You look terrible.
Qatar. As was every year.
Your own fault for growing up in the rain belt in the west of Scotland, Alec. No. You should have come over here earlier, man. The east is the place. Listen to my nasal passages. Clear as a bell. You better answer it.
Alec Bodine.
Ah, Mr. Bodine. Just the man. Saturday round about 4 suit you?
That'll be just dandy. Any idea what for?
A visit, Mr. Bodine. A weekend excursion to the House of Whitcroft.
You being?
I am the eponymous he, Whitcroft.
Ah, silly me. For some reason I thought you were dead.
Oh, my little message. Intriguing, eh?
Not really.
That was what our grotesque American cousins call a taster. The real event is this weekend. Black tie for Sunday evening is preferable.
You intend to last that long?
But if not, a shirt with a collar and a tie will suffice.
Yeah, I've got one from the Boys' Brigade.
Good. Well, your colleague has the address. I await your coming with interest and pleasure. But can you save the day, Bodine? Can you save the day?
What is this? Homeopathy?
It's helping the body to help itself. It gets worse before it gets better.
And you have to give things up?
Yep.
What about Greg?
It wasn't mentioned.
I bet it wasn't.
Yeah.
Here. Slange.
Slange.
Yes, yes.
Was like us.
I'm few.
Rodded.
You know, I went to Humphrey Bogart film the other night. The Maltese Falcon. Oh, you can't beat Humphrey.
No. You actually want me?
I want you to go out there, Alec. This guy might be nutty as a fruitcake, but if he, in an apparently accidental mode, turns up his toes...
Oh, that's a very insurance phrase.
I used to sell policies. They can't all be bona fide ex-CID johnnies.
Spell it out.
Go there.
Right.
Alec.
Yeah.
Oh, don't be so touchy.
When I was a little boy, I watched another little boy poke a stick inside a wasp's nest. He got stung.
Okay, okay. Cheap crack, taken back.
Aye, you still want to bring my Boys' Brigade tie, don't you?
That organisation is just a run-up to the Masons. No. It's just he claims he heard his wife in a telephone conversation with Jardine to do with this weekend. Something was being fixed and it wasn't the plumbing.
And you believe him?
I don't know. But something's going down. I can sense it.
And your water?
Hey, my nose. I have a nose, Alec. A nose for the internecine.
As you so often say.
And let's face it, Alec. Yours is pretty blocked up at the moment.
I loathe motor cars. I sigh for the days of the horse when one could travel and eat simultaneously. Sorry if that disgusts, but it's the way nature has framed me. Horses for courses, you might say. But cars, inventions of Beelzebub, though some might say flies are so, one either clings unhappily to the windscreen or lurks amid the imitation leather, Bodine's car, being hired and Japanese, positively stinks with cleanliness and imitation. And he drives. He drives like a man with much on his mind.
Damn! Okay, Mac, just to keep you happy, having nearly been knackered on an oak tree, here is the first of my verbal reports, which I shall pass discreetly on to you, as agreed, in a nearby local pub on Sunday. Why, I can't just talk to you there and then, but no, you're very big on first impressions, so here are my first impressions. This is a bloody big estate. Easter House isn't in it. You were right about the deer, by the way. I could see a few sporting on the heather hillside. You were wrong about the country air being good for my guitar. It's worse. And I am now driving through mercifully open wrought iron gates with some sort of Latin motto. Partic est omnes devises interest partes or something. Up a long drive towards the big house, and I am here to tell you, Mac, that the architecture of this place makes the House of Usher look like a holiday camp. Bye for now. Oh, oh mighty.
It must be. It can't not be, surely.
Yep. It's the name right enough.
Excellent. Absolutely splendid. But is it really necessary for you to look like the man from the Prue? That suit.
I got it when I was demobbed.
I think not. Far too young. Whitcroft.
Thought it might be.
Another compact piece of machinery from the land of the rising sun, eh? Oh, I observe you have a fly on your inside window. Is it Japanese, I wonder?
I doubt it.
Mind if I let it out?
Feel free.
There you go, my beauty. I'm rather pro-flies. I, on the other hand, was old enough.
Sorry?
National service with the jocks in Cyprus. Nicosia, the murder mile. Here we are. Home, sweet home. What do you think of it?
Biggish.
Gothic. A monstrosity. But I love every tortured crevice. Punctual to a fault, your room awaits. I don't make a habit out of house guests, but I trust this will prove adequate for your needs.
Lovely.
There's a bathroom, etc., through there. This used to be my father's study, but he has no need for it anymore.
He turned up his toes, has he?
Unfortunately so. The bed, I understand, functions, and the books may comfort you. Yes?
We have a few things to discuss, Mr. Whitcroft.
Indeed we do. But I must to the village. The local butcher is hanging some venison for me for Sunday, and he is a notoriously unreliable man.
Where's your wife?
My sanguinary Veronica. Oh, out there somewhere, hunting. Even now some innocent small mammal of the family Muridae is being crushed in her talons.
Why, is she some kind of harpy?
Educated as well as punctual. Excellent. No, she is a falconess. Out there somewhere with her disgusting kestrel operating her claws by proxy. Now, I simply must fly. Walk the grounds. If you feel a cold shiver to the base of your spine, it means Veronica is somewhere in the vicinity. Oh, and Nanny's in the kitchen. Should you desire tea?
Does your wife know why I'm here?
I've told her you've come to give me some financial advice. God knows I need it. Esto epanidine, Mr. Bodine. Greek for see you later.
Arrivederci. Okay, Mac, met the subject face to face. First impression. The man is a bampart. A complete and utter bampart.
No, Bodine. Wrong. The sudden jumps, the quick, nervous rubbing together of the hands, the long legs, the darting, dilated eyes in that grey, wasted face. Haunted by bad dreams. Enmeshed like one of my brethren in a glutinous web, waiting only for the first delicate pull of the spider. Oh, best not to think of that. He is one of us, Bodine. He is of our world. Ah, well, go your own way, go your own way. I shall search for sustenance. It was a hellish journey. A hunting we will go, a hunting we will go. A hunting we will go.
Excuse me.
There he is, see? Just above the hill.
What? Oh, yeah. The bird. The castle, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hello?
Caesar Augustus. Gus.
He can hang in the wind like that forever.
You're a debt collector like that. The name's...
Yes, I know.
And you're...
Veronica.
Yes, I know.
So, you're my husband's financial wizard.
Well, there's all kinds of wizards. Used to read a comic called The Wizard.
He spotted something. Can you see? He's changed position.
Then, of course, there was The Wizard of Oz.
I hated that film. He was a fake.
Ah, his existence did depend on the credulity of others.
So which are you? A comic or a fake?
I've got potential. Both ways.
He's going, look. Go on, Gus. Go on, my baby. Hit, hit, hit. He's coming up. Yes, yes. Bullseye.
What is it, a rabbit?
Don't be silly. It's a small animal, a shrew, or a vole.
Sad for all the little voles when they find out Daddy's not bringing home the bacon tonight.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Mr. Bodine.
Call me Alec. Those voles are quite casual about that sort of thing.
He'll take it away, eat it, then he'll come back to me. He always comes back.
Must be nice to inspire such all-round faithfulness.
It's a gift, Alec. Either you're born with it, or you're not.
Get off with you, you dirty wee beast.
Pardon?
Oh, not you. These insects.
Ah, oh.
Is a cup of tea you're wanting?
No, I'm off tea. Can I have a glass of water?
Help yourself.
Thank you. Is that an evening meal?
Aye. Leg of lamb. You're not a vegetarian, are you?
No. Meat and two veg, man, me.
Well, you'll get more than that here. Hand me over a few more torches, will you?
Nothing like new potatoes.
Unless you're the one that has to scrape them. You'll be Mr. Bodine, the finance man.
So they tell me.
Well, God knows you're needed.
Oh, is Mr. Whitcroft short of a few more bees then?
Do you like fishing, Mr. Bodine?
I've not tried it.
You should. You would be very good at it. Carrots, please.
You. How long have you worked here?
I joined Master Alexander about 5 years ago, just before his father died.
I'm in his study.
He was a very studious man.
What happened to the last cook?
She died as well. She was very old.
It's a big house. How many of his staff has he got?
One. Me. Cook, housekeeper and chief bottle washer.
Must have your work cut out.
No trouble. We got on right away, Master Alexander and I. He performed his writings, I made his meals, plenty of time to spare. It was very peaceful till... Are you fond of kidneys, Mr. Bodine?
Oh, no, thanks. Can never separate them from the function.
Aye. Well, I'll not make an extra portion for breakfast. Master Alexander loves his kidneys.
Can I have a bit of carrot?
Help yourself.
Good for the eyes.
Only if you're an owl.
When did, Mr. Whitcroft get married?
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mrs. Whitcroft, Veronica. How's you going with her?
In what way?
Oh, you know. New young wife, new...
Master Alexander stated it plain. This is Nanny's kingdom, he said. Within these four walls, she is the law. And I am.
I'm sure. So there's been no change then?
There's been changes.
Such as?
Entertaining. We entertain now every weekend.
Expensive.
It's her idea. Sometimes as many as 20.
20? So how do you...
Well, I get help from the village.
Uh-huh.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to know, Mr. Bodine? Perhaps you'd like to know which leg of the lamb this is, right or left?
Huh?
Or its vital statistics?
Oh, I see. Sorry, Nanny.
My name is Bridget. Only Master Alexander calls me Nanny.
Bridget, I'm sorry. As financial people, we get into the habit of asking questions. Nosy Parkers.
Ah, well. He lost his nose, did he not?
Did he?
And curiosity killed the cat?
So it did. Right, well, I'll leave you to get on with it. Oh, yes, I know what I came in to ask. Is it all right to use the phone?
You'll find it out there in the hall, and it's the only one.
Pardon?
There's no extensions anywhere. It was his father's custom, and Master Alexander carries it on. He says a house with extensions is a house with secrets.
Is that a fact?
7:30 prompt.
Hmm?
Supper.
I look forward to it. House with extensions. God. Where'd they get that? The Reader's Digest Book of Practical Proverbs. Chub.
Hello?
Hello.
Norma Armitage, homeopathic practitioner here.
Oh, God.
But not here. If you wish to leave a message for me, please speak clearly after the tone.
Beep. Hello. It's 5 o'clock on Saturday, and here are the football results. No? Right, this is Alec Bedin, your newly acquired patient. He asked me to ring in and let you know if the medication's having any effect. Well, it's not. Anyway, I have kept, as requested, off coffee and tea in order to aid the healing process, but it's killing me. I'll keep taking the pills.
Ah, Mr. Bedin. Phoning home?
I'm not very into homes.
What about wine?
Fairly partial.
Good. Well, you can take this crate and this one, and I shall lead the way.
Where?
The cellar, Bedin. The cellar. Come along.
Oh, bollocks.
Oh, dear. Bulb's gone again. Must be the dab. Still, I have my little torch to show the way.
That's nice.
I shall be Baron Frankenstein, and you my hunchbacked assistant.
Terrific.
Let me help you.
Thank you.
That's the last lot of wine I can get on tick. My credit runneth over. I shall put them in the rack, sledge them with dust, and pretend I'm a rich man with a bountiful cellar. They'll all be gone by the end of tomorrow night, of course.
Sure. You could just as easily have left them upstairs, then.
But it's the illusion, Bodeen. The illusion. Besides, people...
Hear something.
Well sounded out. And if you follow me round this corner and down these steps, let there be light. Ah, this one works. Good.
It's beautiful.
Yes. An underground stream runs through here. The pool is surprisingly deep. I often come here. The water is so peaceful. Perfect peace. A man could drown in it. However, back to the car for venison and provisions. Nanny waits impatiently in her kitchen.
Yeah, we still haven't talked.
I know, Bodine. Time enough.
It's your funeral.
Isn't it just? By the way, did you find my wife?
Yes.
How did you find my wife?
That's another thing we've got to talk about.
But today is not a day for discussion, Bodine. Today is for... action!
Lying in the noonday sun. But not quite noonday. But the last shaft of evening sunlight wraps me in its mellow radiance as I spread my wings. Nothing like disporting oneself on the posterior of a mildewed cherub to divine the poetic in one's soul. Unlike cellars. Don't like cellars. Nasty, dank places. So, Whitcroft to the car, and Bodin mounting the stairs, no doubt to prepare his evening toilet. Stand by the window, Bodine. Yes, do stand as the dying sun bypasses the dusty curtains. Look out! Are you watching the man or waiting for the woman? I wonder if she's a blonde. I bet she's a blonde. Blondes cause mayhem. Always. Well, while you were hunting out there, Bodine, I was hunting in here.
and before the meaty hand of that knuckle-boned housekeeper swept me aside, I had bathed and drunk in the blood of the lamb. I am a glistening priapic red, every hairy filigree coated in the luscious claret which flowed from the haunch of that mild-mannered animal. Blood of the lamb, drunk as a skunk on the 4th of July. Blood of the lamb, blood of the lamb.
The secret of exact carving is in a sharp knife. The sharper the knife, the cleaner the cut. The cleaner the cut, the more the appetite is galvanized into an appreciation, one might almost say addiction, for sliced flesh. Is that not so, my dear Veronica?
You sound like Vincent Price, as usual.
Do you like horror films, Mr. Bodine?
No, I'm more of a cowboy fan.
Help yourself to more wine.
Thanks, partner.
I love horror films. Bloodier the better.
They'll give you nightmares. Vegetables.
Nothing to what I can produce au naturel, Nanny. Thank you.
No, is that sufficient for your niece?
A feast fit for Belshazzar and a Daniel come to judgment. Our thirst shall be slaked, our hunger shall be mitigated, except for Veronica's unspecified carnal appetite.
Perhaps that extra portion of potatoes will help. I'll be back to the kitchen then. Busy day tomorrow, feeding of the 5,000.
If I require, I shall ring.
That woman looks through me as if I don't exist.
Perhaps for her you don't.
Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsen.
I beg your pardon?
The writing on the wall. Biblical graffiti. Belshazzar got his jotters from Daniel, right? Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsen. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it.
Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians.
Sunday school?
No, boys' brigade instructor. He's a great Old Testament man.
What about the Song of Solomon?
No, he drew the line just below the Second Samuel.
Samuel 2, a veritable horror film in itself. A toast. The frontiers of sanity, wherever they may be.
An end to Qatar.
Veronica.
Here's to life.
As I gaze down at these three, I'm reminded of a time when travelling country byways on one of my few trips out of town, because I had inadvertently boarded a West Highland-bound bus, I chanced upon a dead frog on the road, squashed in the shape of its own shadow. And in no time flat, quite a crowd had gathered, a host upon a host, so to speak. All ate in perfect tranquility, with respect for each other's space, station, and individuality, then slept the sleep of the just. But the human condition is such that the worst manifestations of acrimony and acridity take place, and are reserved for 1, the bed, and 2, the table, especially when the red wine flows.
The mask of the Red Death. Splendid. The scene when death descends the staircase, carrying plague into the merry throng of these eternal partygoers, pockmarked by candelabra. Disgustingly splendid.
You're spilling the wine.
Splendid. Then the Phantom of the Opera, Lon Chaney Sr. version, of course. Do you know, Mr. Babine, he fasted for months to reduce his face to that hollow, socketed arena of anguish. No makeup, au naturel.
I don't think John Wayne ever went to these lengths.
Tall in the saddle, but death claimed him, as it will us all.
Yep, the Apaches got him eventually, at the pass.
Have some more.
No, steady on.
Nonsense. And then, the murders at the Rue Morgue.
An ape did it.
Correct. But then one would expect someone of your investigate...
What has finance got to do with the investigation of apes?
I see finance, especially nowadays, in Darwinian terms. The gradual evolution of creative accountancy.
I think you'll find that my husband needs all the creativity he can get.
I've always thought architects to be not unlike a certain species of lizard. Geckos. They slither up walls and disappear into cracks no one else can find. The squaddies use them in Cyprus for target practice. I disappoint my dear wife in, oh, so many ways. The main one, however, is that she joined me for my money.
That's a lie.
And has left me virtually bankrupt.
It's your own doing, not mine.
Pardon me. Very rich meal.
You make an uneasy audience, Mr. Bodine.
Okay. Audience participation thing. Why are you going bankrupt?
The red deer. Terhant, the dun deer doon. Common enough story. Large estate, mounting overheads, complicated by incessant, lavish entertainment.
I won't be shut away here.
So the invitations blaze forth.
I tell people to look on it as a visit to a museum.
Right, but where do the deer come in, or do they just get invited?
I have a lot of land, most of it unproductive. This seemed like a perfect answer. Ranching, bring in a herd, beef it up, sell it off, much money to be made. Unfortunately, it was a complete disaster.
Rustlers?
A virus, the first year, last year. Died off like flies. What you see on the hills are the pathetic remnants.
What? So you lost your money?
All of it. Borrowed from the bank. Mr. Locke, the appositely named local manager, you will see here tomorrow evening. Head office is not best pleased with Mr. Locke.
So, you're in the red?
Apt. Very apt.
Why don't you sell some land? In the way here, I noticed, what, at least half a dozen newly built country retreats. I mean, it looked like some kind of post-modernistic Lego kit, but they've got Volvos coming out of every aperture. Why don't you cash in the yuppie explosion? I mean, they're sprouting like mushrooms in old Caledonia.
Ah, but you see, that would be a loss of face, Mr. Bodine.
I thought that was Lon Chaney.
Alexander is the son of the laird, owner of the big house. To sell the land would be ancestral sacrilege and a loss of face in front of his precious village community.
The land is my heritage.
You hate it. But you're frightened of your father's ghost. You'd burn the bracken to a cinder if you had the nerve. You never walk the hills. You're terrified of the space, the emptiness. All you really want to do is shut yourself away inside this stinking tomb and dribble on pieces of paper. No wonder the deer died. That land is poisoned with your hatred.
Coffee, Mr. Bodine?
Yeah, please. No. I'll just have a glass of water.
I live on caffeine. Nanny makes a particularly lethal brew. It complements the brandy so well. Oh, by the way, Mr. Bodine, most of these kit houses you observed were the products of the fertile imagination of one Marcus Jardine, Veronica's little friend.
I was never very good at technical drawing.
A comic, Mr. Bodine, definitely a comic.
Huh?
Rather than a fake.
All right, right. Oh, this red wine plays hell with my sinuses. You ought to do that more often.
What?
Smile. Set you off a treat.
Does it?
Yes.
Get a bit out of practice.
I don't know. It's not such a bad life for you here, is it? After all, you've got your compensations.
What do you mean?
You've stopped smiling.
What do you mean?
Smiling, you've stopped. The compensations. Well, Augustus Caesar. Not many women have a Roman emperor at their beck and call.
On the hill, why did you leave so suddenly?
My feet were getting cold.
Now you're being a fake, Mr. Bodine.
Please, Alec. I don't mind your husband's formality, it suits him, but when you say it, it makes me sound like a...
Like a what?
Like an insurance man.
Oh.
Laughter at the table. Such an unusual occurrence. Coffee for me, water for Mr. Bodine, and then brandy for the gentleman.
I'll have mine in an egg cup.
Nonsense. Your proletarian slip is showing. Veronica's never does.
Do you want a glass?
No, thanks, Alec. Brandy keeps me awake at night.
I should have thought your conscience would have performed that function. Well, Mr. Bodine, Slanger.
Slanger.
Oh, dear, it's all gone quiet. Tell me, what provoked the laughter at table? Who was the object of mirth?
Nobody. We were just shooting the breeze. About Gus.
Not a particularly humorous subject, I would have thought. The Lord High Executioner of Insectivores, Veronica's little child substitute.
Only in the absence of the real thing, Alexander.
No chance, no chance. You see, Mr. Bodine, my wife exudes frigidity, then wonders why sensitive people react to the change in temperature.
Well, don't react.
And did she talk of architecture, the relief an architect can bring?
Christ, you're pathetic.
So maybe we better stick to horror films.
Perhaps so. Perhaps so. Tell me, Mr. Bodine, what frightens you? What is the stuff your nightmares are made of?
Knives.
Eh?
The knife. The razor, the blade. When I was a kid, the teddy boys were ramping, right? And one of them chased me up my close one day. I remember looking back and seeing that razor glinting in the lamplight. I was screaming. The boy was mental in VP.
VP?
Cheap wine.
I was lucky I got to the third landing before he caught up with me. The neighbours pulled him off. Gave him quite a kicking.
How interesting. A slice of life.
It must have been horrible, Alec.
What about Bernard?
They were in short supply.
Not in Nicosia. Don't sigh, Veronica, an oft-told tale, but anecdote for anecdote. We were in the middle, like those poor bastards in Ireland. Don't let the buggers push you around, we were told, so we didn't. We went in with rifle butt, boot and bayonet.
We have no dance halls like that.
But not with that sun, baking hot every day. We were so fed up with them and their archbishops and colonels and bloody Eoka.
Oh, dear.
An oft-told tale. I was a young officer, in charge of a small squad that day, walking down one of the main roads. Bayonets fixed. Somebody chucked a rock at us, ran down a side alley. The boys were scratchy as hell. Took off after him. It was a trap, of course. Dead end. The windows above opened, and buckets of shit, rocks, stones, everything but the kitchen sink rained down on us. Luckily, no guns. Then they came out from behind us with your knives, Mr. Bodine, looking for blood. One of our boys went down, lost his rifle. A figure stood over him. A knife was raised. I grabbed the rifle and bayonet and got it. In, twist, out. Have you ever killed anyone? It was a 13-year-old boy. His face was young, shocked, then dead. They covered it up, of course. But it changed me, Mr. Bodine. Death changes people.
That's undeniable.
Oh, to hell with etiquette. Let's drink from the bottle.
You're on your own there.
Well, when I got back, I didn't want to see anyone. All I desired was peace, rest, and for a long time, nothingness. Then I began writing poetry. Of all things. My father was delighted. He despaired of me up till then. He was an amateur historian, dry old stick. Mother died giving me birth. Don't know how he engendered me in the first place.
Like father, like son.
Aha! I refuse to give your reptilian progeny the chance to inherit my kingdom. Back to poetry. I was good, gained recognition, was saved, happy. He died, I was happier. Then I was lonely. And then I made a grave error of judgment.
It happens.
I married. I desired. I sought perfect beauty, not realizing that perfection is another kind of death, not of the hot sun, but of cold, barren ice.
Get on with it, Alexander.
I stopped writing, dried up, like an old waterbed. I mean riverbed, a rotten image.
And it's all my fault, is it?
Yes. Because I can't find you. You're unreachable, inviolate. I poured everything, but I haven't even touched you.
That's true.
Listen, maybe you should save all this for the bedroom.
We
no?
don't sleep together.
You're like a cat. Your eyes chained with the moon. You're perfect and complete unto yourself and no one else. A terrible beauty.
It's in the eye of the beholder, don't you think?
You attract the darkness. You draw it out of me. Shall I recite one of my poems for you, Mr. Bodine?
Is it short?
Concise and to the point. Well?
Either way.
It's... The title is The Orchid and the Fly. Will you come a little closer, said the orchid, and the fly hesitated. But then, scenting the musky promise of her, he danced down the petals to the centre of the flower. The petals closed, and in the dark, in the centre, he found a pool of sticky sweetness where he drowned.
And as his multifaceted eyes stared out for one last time, he saw the petals open and heard the voice say to another, "Will you come a little closer? Will you come a little closer?"
I think it's supposed to be some kind of metaphor. Good night, Mr. Bodine.
Alec. Good night.
Oh, you're nearest the bell. Ring for Bridget, will you?
Right. Right. Ting-a-ling. A-ling.
It was a ton.
Heavy bones.
I'll take your word for it.
Bring him over this way.
You sure?
I've done this more times than the cats or kittens. You won't believe it, but he'll be as fresh as a daisy in the morning.
Oh, he doesn't smell like a daisy.
Thank you for all your help, Mr. Bodine.
What about the...
I can manage the rest, thank you. I've had enough practice.
Right, well, if you're sure you can manage...
That's what I've just said.
Right. You don't like Mrs. Whitcroft, do you?
It's not my place to like or dislike.
Yeah, but you don't.
I knew her when she was a little girl. Always neat and tidy, always such a calculating wee face. I watched her make herself into the perfect image. She would have nothing to do with her own class. She was setting herself out to catch a rich husband. But I never dreamed it would be Master Alexander.
So you came from the same neck of the woods?
My husband was a postman for the area. When I was widowed, I came here. I didn't realise I was being followed.
Yeah, well, you like him, don't you?
I never had any children. He satisfied my maternal instincts.
Ah, Bodine. Will you come a little closer?
Buzz, buzz.
My wife, her eyes are blue, like ice picks. Are you beginning to dream of her?
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Bodine.
Right, Mac, here is my first impression of my first night. There's certainly murder in the air, but whether it will make itself felt and who will be the subject and object concerned is none too clear. However, as far as pos in this confused situation of my faculties and reactions, I am in control. These bloody pills. Christ, they're minuscule. Okay, one under the tongue, as directed. Oh, God.
I couldn't sleep.
Oh,
May I come in?
Yeah. Certainly.
Is something the matter?
No, I've got a pill under the tongue. Waiting for it to melt.
Ah.
So, go on.
What's it for?
Calm down the mucous membranes. Sit down.
No, thanks. I don't intend to stay that long. I just came to apologise.
What for?
Leaving you in the lurch.
I've been left in worse lurches. Anyway, he's all tucked up now, so...
I've had my belly full of him.
Tricky situation.
Yes. Oh, God.
Listen, I didn't tell you the whole truth, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
About the Teddy boy. He had a certain amount of right on his side, you see.
So had the Greek boy.
Possibly. But so maybe it was... When I was a kid, I was a cheeky wee bugger. And, well, when I saw him staggering down the street, I shouted at him.
And what did you shout?
Skinny malinky long legs, big banana feet.
You're a very attractive man, Alec Bodine.
Oh, yeah, not too bad yourself.
Why, thank you, kind sir.
That was meant as a compliment.
I know how it was meant. Sweet dreams.
I don't think I'm going to find it easy to get to sleep.
Why not?
Blood temperature.
Something you ate?
Possibly.
Stay away from sweet things. Good night.
Good night. Mac, on the last message, I should have added a word after in control. The word is barely. It could be just, but barely is nearer the knuckle.
Oh, a blinding headache overwhelms me. Too much blood of the lamb. And those striped pyjamas Bodine is struggling into don't help at all. Not at all. Oh, don't beat the pillow, Bodine. It may get rid of your frustrations, but it irritates my finer filaments. And she is a blonde. I knew it. Something about the way her hair shines in the moonlight upsets the delicate balance of things. Sometimes I wish I was back with Jack the barman, from whom I learned the gift of speech. He was an old sailor, Dublin man, working in that dreadful dive in Leith Walk. In the wee small hours, I would sit on his shoulder like a parrot while he laid out his Guinness bottles, told me his tales of the sea, his dreams of a rich, plump widow with her own farm, and sang his songs. But I'll be there in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, put out the light, Bodine, put out the light. Oh, thank the Lord. Darkness. The old lie where they sleep. With Crofton's sad and lonely bed, Veronica chaste and cold-blooded as a moonbeam, Nanny with the sheets tucked just under her nose, Bodine dreaming his dreams, and I with my presentiment of the doom that tomorrow is not going to be just another day.
Bodine! Bodine, wake up! What? Your worst fears are realized.
What?
I'm still alive and kicking.
What?
Here, have a cup of tea.
Oh, thanks. Oh, that's just... Oh, hell.
What?
I'm not supposed to drink that stuff.
Why ever not? It retards the healing process. Keeping a tight rein, don't you?
Ah, to hell with it. Oh, that just hits the spot.
Good. So, shall we let the midday sun join in the celebration?
Oh, what time is it?
Almost high noon.
No, please, no, not too much, please.
There goes my little she-bat. Off for a long day's butchery with a feathered friend. Carrion crows.
Mm.
She hung around rather pale and wistful at the bottom of the staircase waiting for you, but eventually the call of the wild proved too strong.
Is that right?
Whereas, in contrast to your sloth, I've been all round the earth and perth since early morning, positively fueled by kidneys.
I thought you didn't like the great outdoors.
I don't, but occasionally needs must, Bodine, needs must.
I can't believe the time.
Don't move too sharply, Bodine. These pyjamas of yours are positively mesmerising.
I'm lost. Couldn't get to sleep. Then had bad dreams.
Such a...
You've cut yourself.
Oh, so I have. The cat. Such sharp claws. Quite a scrape. Let's hope it's not poisonous. I thought it was time for our little talk.
Ah, jolly good wheeze.
I heard her on the phone to him. Jardine. She said, Sunday evening, when he's drunk, make it look like an accident.
Very explicit phone call.
She's a very explicit woman, I imagine.
You jealous of her?
Insanely. I know she's having an affair with him.
Proof?
Too clever. But she's out all day, every day, hunting. He drives a Land Rover. You can see its tracks all over the land.
You told the police?
What use of the police?
True enough. We could call the Bond as a witness, but he probably had a hood over his head at the time. So, you want me to...
Merely observe. Protect the interests of your employer.
Which leads me to a minor detail. If you're so hard up, how come you took the policy out in the first place? The premiums are high. Very high.
I was persuaded.
How?
Veronica has her methods. Donkey and the carrot.
Oh, you don't strike me as the donkey type.
Nor you I, Mr. Bodine, though I have observed you act the part in order to lull the unwary. But do beware. Mm. Veronica uses her body like a lever to move the world. She'll ride you like a horse, trot, gallop, jump, all at the flick of a whip.
Now we're back to donkeys again.
I may not see you till the evening. I wish to spend the rest of the day in my room, undisturbed, working. I have a foolish hope that today the waters may break.
You're late, Alec.
No, barely all next week, I promise.
I've got you one in.
Ali!
Got a Belsphere man here. That's a nice place, eh?
Lovely. A bit of a shock when it hits the 20th century, though.
Oh, it's very posh in the posh bit, but I feel more at home this side of the border. Water?
No breakfast and I'm driving. Thank God it's not far.
Oh, well, I can get as drunk as I like. I've got lodgings upstairs.
What?
I felt like a wee weekend excursion. Besides, I want to keep close tabs on this one, Alec. I'm getting bad vibrations.
That cheers me up no end. Slange you.
Right. Very nice rooms.
Rooms? Did you bring a gun bearer?
No. A woman. Always good cover, a woman.
And where is she?
In the toilet. Where else would a woman be? Well, as the hairdresser said to the bald man, tell me about it.
Right, here's your tape. You can listen to it later. First impressions. Sounds like a talent contest.
What about second?
Oh, I don't know. It's like a minefield.
Well, you're the detective.
Yeah. Remember that toy, a monkey and two bits of stick? The harder you walk the sticks, the more the monkey jumped.
Well, literary atmosphere's getting to you.
Yeah, that's not all.
Look, I was having a chat with a local butcher. Total loon. Completely out of it.
Don't understand.
Seemingly Mr. W is stony broke. Like wee Josie's nose skint.
Winter's come, the snow has fell. Wee Josie's nose is froze as well.
Wee Josie's nose is froze and skinted.
Winter's diabolic.
Ain't it? They're all terrified he's going to sell up the land and let the yuppie vandals in.
Yeah, so here.
And you've no doubt heard that Mrs. Whitcroft comes from round these parts.
Yep.
But did you know she was an orphan eventually?
No.
Oh, yes. When she was a babe in arms. The mother died. Father was a drunkard, farmhand. 7 years later, he fell into a threshing machine. Came out looking like diced carrot.
What about her?
Raised by a maiden aunt. Real Bible puncher.
That figures.
Local beauty. But no winning popularity contests. Snobby bitch, according to the local lads. That kind of girl, when she was at school, you'd like to pull her pigtails.
Really?
Would you like to pull her pigtails, Alec?
Hello, Mr. Bodine.
Lattie. So you're the cover.
Cover girl. Where's my gin and tonic?
I got you the tonic.
Honestly, he thinks I'm still in knee socks. So how's it all going down, Mr. Bodine?
Fast, Lattie. Very fast.
Well, don't you worry, because we're keeping close tabs on you. We have ways.
What took you so long?
Oh, you know the ladies, like a food queue in Russia. That's an oldie.
Yeah, I used to dance to that. Cheek to cheek, the scout halls.
Surprised you brigade boys went anywhere near them.
Well, they had the girl guide, you know. Those were the days.
You look a bit peaky, Mr. Bodine.
That reminds me.
Here, is that your alternative alternatives?
Yep.
They look like saccharine tablets.
Don't mind him, Mr. Bodine. I'm sure they're very good for you. You're waiting till it melts, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you supposed to have them with whiskey?
I don't know. Listen, I'd better get back.
Be careful, Alec. I can smell a witch's brew.
Close tabs, Mr. Bodine, will be kept.
Thank you.
See you around.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Why didn't you tell him?
Some things are better left untold.
Like a tonic without a gin?
Oh, dear. Ali!
Ooh. Quietly with the front door, Bodine. Quietly, does it? Oh, never again. I felt fly-blown all day. Even the cherub's rump is no comfort. Your room's to the right. Why are you turning left, Bodine? Sinister. Very sinister. Oh, well. Off we go into the wide blue yonder.
Veronica. Veronica.
He's dead.
Huh?
poison. It must be.
Have you phoned the police?
Why? They won't care. They're not interested
Gus.
In a...
Gus! You're talking about Gus? The bond.
Well, who else? Who else could... Oh, you thought it was him! Bastard! Oh. He did it!
Shh, shh. Come on, be all right. Be all right. Come on. Tell me what happened.
Well, we'd been out for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Then he disappeared. Uh-huh. He didn't come back up. It was where you saw him, one of his favourites.
So
I waited for a while. Then he was lying on the ground. His eyes were open, but they didn't see.
Right, you said poison.
Well, he'd been eating a shrew.
Right.
There were three or four of them laid out like bait. I looked at its guts. Rat poison.
How do you know?
We had a plague of them last year.
Probably stuffed like a chicken. Right, so now you've just got the one big rat, right? What do you want to do?
Nothing.
You don't want to face him out with it?
Oh, no. Not like this. That's what he wants. No. I have to get back to the Ice Maiden. That's why he did it. To get to me. I won't feel. I won't let them get to me. That's why he did it. Because Gus is the only thing I...
Love?
Love. Loved. Love.
Oh, dear. The two-backed beast puts in an unscheduled appearance. Have you ever been in love, me boys, or ever felt the pain? I'd sooner be in jail myself and fall in love again. The girl I loved was beautiful, I'll have yous all to know, and I met her in the garden where the praties grow.
Jesus, what an idiot.
What's the matter?
Should never have got involved.
Don't worry. I won't tell if you don't.
That's not the point.
I found Gus when he was a baby. An orphan, I suppose. Fallen out of the nest. I fed him on milk through an eardrop applicator. He fitted into the palm of my hand. I thought he was going to die, but he didn't.
I just wish your hair was a different colour.
Why?
Memories.
I didn't know you smoked.
Special occasions only. I used to smoke all the time. And I was in the CID in Glasgow. That was good. Tip for the top. Then I got involved. It was this gang of muggers hitting the estates. Robbing the poor to pay the rich being the pushers. A fatality occurred. An old boy stabbed to death. I pulled in some suspects. One of them, young girl. Looking into her eyes was like a walk in the wild side. I had a good wife, bought house, didn't play the GGs, so I was ripe. I told myself all I was after was information. Kept trying to get close to her, push her to the edge. And then one night, we fell over. Together.
It happens.
A few nights later, we got a tip-off. They were heading a particular scheme, so... out we went. I was issued with a shooter. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we got most of them. But I got separated from the rest of the boys, ended up in an old warehouse, deserted. Stuck my nose in, force of habit. Somebody jumped me. It was a flash of steel. I was holding the shooter. It went off. I don't remember firing. It just went off. It was her. Long, blonde hair spread out like a carpet. White face. I found out later that she was the leader. She'd done in the old man. A junkie. Heroin before heroin became the fashion. She was on. A mental case. Dead mental case.
But surely no one would blame you.
I blame me.
I can't see how this recommends you to blondes.
No. How would I? But in the split second before that gun went off, I still don't know if I recognised her. If it was just a razor reaction. She drew the darkness out of me. Strong stuff.
Come back to bed.
Too risky.
What happened after?
I resigned. Hit the bottle. Lost the wife, lost the kids, lost the happy home, lost the place completely. Down the tubes. And it's been a long way back.
Strange training grounds for a finance man.
I'm not. I'm an insurance investigator, and I'm involved. Your husband took out a life policy, he says, at your instigation. He also says you're going to kill him, make it look accidental, hit us for the cash, and laugh all the way to the bank. Now, I shouldn't be telling you this. But if you are planning to do so, please don't. Ever. Because if you do, I'll be after you. And I'll put you away. Where the birdies don't sing.
It's not much of a grave, but it'll keep the buzzards off him. Do you want to say a prayer?
No.
No, right. Well, Gus, I never really got to know you, but requiescat in pace.
Fly easy, sir.
The sky looks empty.
Come on. Veronica.
Yes?
It's a very long name.
I was named after my father's favourite film star, Veronica Lake. One of the few nice things he did.
You don't sound overly fond of him.
I hated him.
Veronica Lake? She was a girl with a peekaboo hairstyle.
Peekaboo?
Yeah, like this. Look, come here. Yeah. So you just saw the one eye looking out. Very seductive.
How do I measure up?
I prefer you in pigtails. Listen, tell me something. Is it just your husband's imagination? Or are you having an affair?
With whom?
Jardin.
I was.
It's over?
Yes.
Does Jardin know this?
Not yet.
And between one thing and another, it's going to be quite a night.
I'll manage. I'll just shut off. I learned to do that as soon as I started to walk.
Must have been tough.
No. Just lonely. But I don't feel so lonely anymore.
You've just lost your pal. Your only love.
Lose one. Win one.
Ah, they'd always buy you a budgie.
What a comic you are, Mr. Bodine. What's going to happen to us all, I wonder?
I don't know. I suppose fate will take its course. Usually does. Oh, hell.
Come on, I'll race you to the fence.
Well, careful you don't frighten the deer. Yes, between one thing and another. I know I was supposed to ring in this morning, Miss Armitage, but it went completely out of my mind. In fact, I just remembered it upstairs because I was putting on my tie and the collar started to choke me.
Now that you have rung in, Mr. Bodine, is the medication having any effect?
Still clogged up like a drainpipe.
Have you refrained from caffeine?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Keep taking the medication as instructed, and I think we'd better take you off alcohol.
Pardon?
It's not forever, Mr. Bodine. Nothing is forever. Ring me again in 3 days' time, and I hope you enjoy your supper. I would like to get back to mine.
Yeah, sure. Janelle.
Red or white wine, sir?
Red. Letty.
Shh, incognito.
You'd never guess it. Do you know I found a shorter skip? I mean, that always covers me backside.
Oh, no, it's terrible. It's 2 sizes too small, but so is she.
Who?
The local girl I borrowed this outfit from.
Right.
You see, she was supposed to help here tonight, but Mac and I persuaded her to go out with her boyfriend instead. We paid her wages, though I think she was quite pleased.
Letty, why are you here?
It was Mac's idea. I wanted to tell you this. She's so secretive. He's too many spies to...
Letty, why are you here and what is his idea?
It's a sort of backup, like Hill Street Blues. He was genuinely worried by your first impression.
I think it's more likely he wanted to get rid of you for the night. It's my bet that at this very moment he's getting plastered with Barney the Butcher in the public bar.
Possible.
Yeah. Anyway, now that you are here, what do you spy with your little eye?
Mrs. Whitcroft's very beautiful, isn't she?
Yes, very beautiful.
Excuse me, can we have some drinks over here?
Yeah, just a minute. I think you're a bloody slave.
Blow your cover. Oh, listen here. Take this back, see if you can find me some mineral water.
Mineral water? She must be in love.
Mr. Bodine, isn't it?
That's the name.
Thought it must be. I know everyone else. Jardine. Marcus Jardine.
Ah, yeah. Hello.
You've done very well with that waitress. I couldn't get her to come anywhere near me.
I don't think it's a chosen profession.
In fact, you seem to be a hit with all the girls. Veronica can't take her eyes off you.
Charisma.
Really? I hear from Alexander that you don't entirely approve of my designs.
Depends what you've got designs on.
Houses.
Oh, right, the houses. No. I can't say that I like them.
Oh, why not?
Well, just looking at them from the outside, they do seem a bit angular.
Do you know anything about architecture, Mr. Bertie?
No, but I know quite a lot about angles.
Hello. So you finally put in an appearance.
Yeah, sorry, I nodded off in the bath. Had a busy day. We were just talking there about buildings.
Are you an expert?
No, but my father was a bricklayer.
Well, you've come a long way from such humble origins. According to Alexander, you're a financial whiz kid.
A kid? I am not, and I'm also not too sure about the whiz.
Oh, I'm certain you're full of whiz. What do you think, Veronica?
I wouldn't know. Marcus, have you got a moment? I need to talk to you.
Oh, goody, a little tete-a-tete. I've always got time for a little tete-a-tete. With Veronica.
Head to head. Different meaning where I come from.
Come on, Marcus.
See you later, Mr. Bodine.
Yeah, sure, see you. Short ass, pompous wee nyaff.
Talk to yourself, Mr. Bodine. I'll put you away. Here's your fizzy water.
Oh, thanks, Letty.
That old room in the kitchen's a terror. Anyone fancy white or red?
I shall have red, thank you, my dear. So, Mr. Bodine, last but not least.
Yep. And have you met Veronica's little friend? We've conversed.
Mr. Locke, help yourself to wine.
That's all you're going to get out of me. Does he strike you as a man who could commit murder? He's weak enough.
You mean he could be led?
We can all be led.
Even you, Mr. Bodine, even you. I observed you coming back with my dear wife this afternoon, gambling behind her like a little lamb.
Yeah, we were having a race.
But I didn't see her feathered friend. What did you do, leave him out there on his own?
No, when Veronica took him out earlier, she noticed he was a bit off colour. That's probably a summer flu. There's a lot of it going round. So she brought him back, took me out instead. The last time I saw him, he was well wrapped up. All he needed was a glass of toddy.
Really?
Yes, really.
Whose side are you on, Bodine?
Blind justice.
Well, for God's sake, keep your eyes open.
I will.
Master Alexander.
Coming, Nanny, coming.
Ooh, bubbles right up your nose.
Hello, it's me again.
Where's,
He's hitting the drinks table. I told him it was over. He took it like a man. Badly. With threats.
You look a bit shaky.
I've got an ex-lover trying to blackmail me back into his bed. A husband who hates me so much he poisons an innocent bird. And someone I care about who thinks I'm part of a plan to murder. No wonder I'm shaky.
Well, when you put it like that...
I wish you could believe in me, Alec. I didn't ask Alexander to take out the policy. I know nothing about it. All you have to do is believe me. Alec...
Supper! Supper is ready and waiting, ladies and gentlemen, so let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Indeed, it is a scene worthy of many a low-budget horror film. The merry throng, pockmarked by candelabra. They've been gobbling away like turkeys for the last 2 hours, like a bunch of blue bottles. The architect, with his bloodshot peepers, giving Bodine the anything but glad eye, must have put one and one together. Even architects can do that. The ice maiden, untouched by death, untouched by life. Bodine, with his watching brief. And Whitcroft, waving his glass aloft in consumptive manic glee. Who is going to make a move? Who? Oh, I'm so fed up. We flies are not temperamentally constructed to endure eternities of suspense. Evacuate the tension or get off the potty. Someone, make a move.
Ladies and gentlemen, I trust you enjoyed your meal and will allow me a modest proposal. Here's to tradition and the terrible weight of ancestry. Of course, Mr. Jardine and his property-developing friends would have us inhabit a new tradition, would have me turn my land over to new stock brokers, fresh from the city, with money dripping from their antlers. Some of you would have the land stay as it is, pure, undefiled. And all of this devolves upon me. I'm sure you all share in my predicament. And I'm sure you're all wondering, as I myself am wondering, as my bank manager is wondering, as my father's ghost is wondering, what to do in such a predicament. And to all of you, what can I say but echo the words of the Latin poet Horace? You've ate well, you've drunk well, it's time you went home. But before you do, let's have a damn good drink and let us dance!
Oh, great stuff! If there's one thing gets me going, it's the dancing. What fella do and dance to your partner? Welt the floor with your trotter shake. Isn't it the truth? I tell you, lots of fun at Finnegan's Wake.
Move the table and the chairs out of the way. Come on, make space. I had this old fellow brought down from the attic. As far as I understand, if you wind it up hard enough, like most things, it springs into action. Ta-da! It works! Mr. Moody, do me the honour of escorting my dear wife in the dashing white sergeant. You may partner our architect friend. There's a merry threesome. The rest, line up, take your partners. Oh, wait a minute. We're one woman short, and I know exactly where to find her.
Don't leave me, Alec.
Sure.
So, Mr. Bodine, we'll have to share Veronica.
Last time I did this was in the school gym.
Any girls, or was it all boys together?
No, mixed. Girls. White shirts tucked inside navy blue knickers. You'd enjoy yourself.
When am I going to get a breather? I could just do with a wee walk outside and some fresh air.
You can breathe when the dishes are done, and if you want fresh air, open the window.
Young lady, we need you for the dance. Dashing white sergeant.
Not in these heels.
Right, kick him off, woman. Kick him off.
Well, okay, if you're going to be that assertive. See you later, alligator.
Well, Nanny, this could be the night.
Good luck, Master Alexander.
Wee-hee! Oh, there's nothing like the release of sweat and the odd cloud of talcum powder to rekindle the spirit. From the propriety of the sergeant to the wildness of the real danse macabre, dance of death, dance till you drop. Oh, I feel the tide is changing. Things are on the move.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The next dance will be a gay garden, ladies' preference.
could you oblige a lady, Mr. Bodine?
Why, after all. I'm really more of a leather waltz man myself. But, where is he?
Hmm?
Your husband, where is he?
Who cares? I've got my partner.
Hold on. What the hell? Look, okay, I want you to stay here, right? And don't move a muscle, do you understand?
But, Alex...
Not a muscle, okay?
Okay.
Letty.
Sorry, Mr. Bodine, ladies preference.
Whitcroft, have you seen him?
No, he was... Well, the last time he was standing by that door over there with that wee short fellow.
Yeah, no, he's gone as well. Listen, I want you to tell Mrs. Whitcroft to get rid of this lot.
Where are you going?
Where I'm going is where I don't want you to follow me. You stay up here.
What for?
A security blanket, okay?
What the hell do I do now?
Damnation. Black as the hell's waistcoat. Whitcroft, you there?
Bodine?
Hold on, I'm on my way. Where's that other bloody switch? Gotcha. What are you doing here?
I might ask the same of you.
You been swimming?
No, I... He asked me down to the cellar to get the last of the wine. He was showing me the pool when... Thought he heard something, went back up. The light went out. Next thing I knew, the water. I was in it.
Oh, you're in it all right. Where is he?
I don't know.
He couldn't have come back up. I would have seen him. He's not here, so where is he?
Perhaps he went surfing.
Yeah, perhaps he's lying at the bottom of the pool.
You don't like me, do you, Bodine?
Not particularly.
Is it because I screw Veronica? I do, you know, all the time.
That's nice.
Do you?
Oh, I never kiss and tell.
You think I've murdered him, don't you? Veronica told me all about it. I rather resent that. I rather think I'm going to knock your teeth down your throat.
I think you're wet enough already. You'll just get blood all over your dicky bow.
I'd rather think not. Jesus, my nose. Never underestimate the little man, Bodine.
Remember that. That's what it's called, a kick in the nuts. Unless... a belt in the jaw.
Well done, Mr. Bodine. Out for the count. Please don't move. The gun is pointed, the hand is steady, the eye is clear.
Where did you spring from?
Way down there at the back is a little hidey hole I made as a child, invisible to the naked eye. It's the work of a moment to flip the switch, black out, give Jardine an unexpected baptism, go to my little den, and wait.
I assume there's a point to all this.
Oh, yes, definitely. Unfortunately, the main point of the point is that I shall have to kill you. I knew you would follow. I was curious to see what would happen between you. If nothing, I intended to follow the same procedures. But you saved me that trouble. Isn't it wonderful when fate is in one's corner?
Oh, that's a gas. Okay, I give in. What's the story?
The story is this. Innocence personified. I'm down here with Jardine. He attacks me, attempts to drown me. A drunken accident is planned. His evil design is thwarted by the appearance of the brave Bodine. A fight. A punch to the chin. A shot is fired. A man is dead. The gun, by the way, is untraceable. I visited one of my old squaddies a while back. He had fallen among the criminal fraternity.
Why?
Oh, so many reasons. Jardine will be disgraced. A long prison sentence for attempted and completed murder. You'll crack, admit the affair. Veronica will be disgraced, easily divorced. Destroyed. Never able to shake free the suspicion that she was part of a murder plot and insurance swindle. The policy was expensive, but supplies a concrete motivation, an insurance, if you like, which brings us back to you, Mr. Bodine.
How do you come out of it, eh?
Wronged, betrayed, an object for compassion and pity, yet not pitiable. I shall sell the land. She was right. I loathe the vast emptiness of it. I shall clear my debts, retire within my four walls, a hurt, brooding, rarely seen figure, with his faithful housekeeper living in blissful solitude. I shall sell the land. No one will blame me.
What about your ancestors?
I finally resolved to take my chances with them in the next world. Perhaps you can have a word when you arrive there.
Oh. That's the story, then, is it?
Yes.
I think your district of poetry is full of holes.
I think not. Oh, by the way, she told me.
What?
During the military two-step, I asked how her little feathered friend was. She said... She said she had a new one. Is it true?
Cheap.
And all of this is because you can't rise to the occasion, is that right?
Careful.
Huh? It's the truth, isn't it?
I tried. I found only ice.
It seems to be quite hot with other people.
May not. Did you?
Did I what? Huh? Come on. Come on, spit it out.
Stay where you are. You tried to put me in fury, so I commit an error, but I wear gloves, you see. I shoot. I wrap Jardine's fingers round the gun. I immerse myself. I bruise myself on rocks. To the outside world, I emerge a dripping, tragic figure.
Oh, yeah, you're that all right.
And you, as soon as I saw you, you were the one. A necessary death. Nothing personal. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm insured.
Goodbye, Bodine!
Oh, my God, I'm about to witness a murder, and even if I wanted to, there's nothing I can prevent it with. What can a poor fly do against the might of man? Goodbye, Bodine.
Well, here's to life. Hello, stranger.
Hello.
Did that little man find you?
Yeah, he found me.
Very dramatic. He came rushing in with that local girl.
She's not local. She wants in my office. He's my boss.
Oh, you were here in force.
Why did you marry him?
I needed somewhere to go. I tried, but it just didn't work out.
What about Jardine?
I needed somewhere to go. Well, I'm glad your friend caught up with you.
So am I. Unfortunately, he's just had to shoot your husband before your husband shot me. Very dramatic.
Mr. Bordy? Mr. Bordy, is everything all right?
Yes, yes.
Mike wouldn't let me go with him. I got so full of anxiety, I had to go to the toilet. Can I go down now?
How strong's your stomach, Letty?
Better than my bladder.
Oh, there's a dead man. It's not Mike. He's just trying to get his breath back. I think he could use a bit of company.
I'll go to him. Why? Why did he do
that? He had a crazy plan. The mad poet.
What's going to happen?
Phone the police. They can clear it all up. The midden men.
I meant about you and me.
I think there's too much blood between us. And you.
But I love you.
Yeah, well, I might even be in love with you. I can never be sure that somewhere at the back of your mind you knew something like this was going to happen. And that you played us all along.
How could I possibly know? You're not making sense.
Maybe not in the logical world, but whatever you are, perhaps it's not even your fault. You attract the darkness. I watched it happen to Whitcroft, and I can feel it now. Inside me. Waiting.
My father was a drunkard. When I was small, he was an animal. I've always thought of men as animals. Rotting stags. But with you, it's different. Don't leave me, Alec.
I'd better make that phone call.
I love you.
I believe you. But then the fly believed the orchid. Look where that got him. Goodbye, Veronica.
Alec.
Goodbye.
Alec, please, you'll kill me.
God, that old woman scared the butts off me.
Yeah, she must have followed me down.
Damn fine pair of lungs. Certainly woke that architect up.
She looked like something out of a horror movie, standing at the top of the stairs screaming like that.
Yeah, I think she was quite fond of Master Alexander.
More than his wife was, by the look of her.
How are you feeling?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Another slug of this will kill the pain. Here, you want some?
No, thanks, I'm off. That's funny.
What?
Can I have a slug?
Yeah. What?
My guitar. It's cleared up. Totally.
Well, you'll never know whether it was the pills or the close proximity of the Grim Reaper that did the trick. And I'll tell you something. It was damn cold out there in the garden.
You wouldn't let me tell you, you and your secrets.
Well, I got enough to think about. But I had an instinct. I could smell it. Instinct. Always follow it. Deep down in the bowels, that's where the tooth lies. Here, hold on.
Mike.
Hold on.
You okay, Mike?
Yes. Yes, sorry.
Here, doctor's orders.
Oh. Just caught up with me there. Oh, I've killed before in the war, but you never saw them till later on. Okay, let's get home.
And so, the end is sadness. My poor, demented Whitcroft, shot through the heart. A most appropriate place. I might have known his resemblance to my world would bring him no luck.
Stop. Stop the car.
Where is it?
Wait.
And in his death, his passing, I feel a curious presentiment of...
Now, out you go, you least so-and-so. One thing I cannot stand is a fly on the windscreen. Here, just to round things off and to help me get rid of ghosts, shove this into your Nipponese cassette player.
By the time you hear this, I shall be dead. My demise will be reported as an accident. This is not so. I shall have been murdered by my wife, Veronica.
Veronica. Yeah, that was her name.
Oh, Veronica. God, I just thought... The policy. I mean, you'll be pushing up the daisies.
You mean dead?
She could have a valid claim. We'd have to prove collusion between her and husband. Do you think they were colluding?
Who knows, Mike? Who knows?
Oh, my God, I might have cost the company a fortune. I should have let him shoot you.
The way to the dark belly of Madam Murder. Good luck to the Voyager.
A comic. Definitely.
I cling to your motor car, Bodine, like Bogart did to many a gangster, Madguard. Thank God for the adhesion on my feet. Because my insides are crushed to hell and back. Ah, I've been poisoned, shot at, beaten up. But I'm still on the case. You hear me, Bodine? I'm still on the case?
In Death of a Fly, Bodine was played by Alexander Morton, Whitcroft by Tom Fleming, and Veronica by Siobhan Redmond, with Callum Mill as Mac, Anne Kristen as Nanny, Julie Miller as Letty, Laurie Ventry as Jardine, and Russell Hunter as The Fly. Death of a Fly was written for radio by David Ashton and directed in our Glasgow studios by Patrick Rayner.